welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by my partner in radio, by my sidekick, Barnabas Piper. Big R is out again.
He didn't tell us where he was going this time. He just said out of town. I think he's tired of us.
He's tired of us goofing on his travels.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm kind of tired of goofing on it too. I feel a pang of, call it conscience. So, I'll assume that Big R is somewhere doing something, something great, something worthwhile, dude. But hear this, Pipe. If he dropped us so that he could just sit at home and talk into his computer with Trogues on their podcast, I'm going to be really tweaked, man.
Well, I think, Well, we know which podcast is more successful at this point. So he would be setting aside the successful one for the whatever that one is.
Which is kind of a hipster move, to be honest, man.
It's true. I mean, sort of going away from the corporate for the independent, that whole thing. That would
yeah,
be
like we're the corporate now, you know?
Are we really?
No, not in real life, but maybe in the convoluted mind of a hipster, we are now corporate.
That's true. We'll have to get him to suss that out next time he's on, if he ever comes back.
If he ever comes back, man, we'll welcome him back with open arms. You
we
know,
will. Yes,
the door is always open.
Open arms, open microphone. Yep, Ronnie's welcome to come back.
That's
we'll just
it.
Put this
man.
Call out for him.
Come back to the studio, Big R, wherever you are. I hope you're listening.
Come back to us, Ron. Come back.
Come back to us, Ron. I love it. Pipe, we've got some business to take care of, man. We got a couple new sponsors on board, one of which I'm excited about. The other of which, I got to be honest, man, I'm a little ambiv about. But why don't you tell us who they are?
All right, well, we'll start with the one you're excited about, because always good to start on a positive note. And that is our friends at Olive Tree. So Olive Tree is online Bible study software. It's especially strong on the mobile side, so using it on iPad and an iPhone. In fact, when I visit my parents, I often come downstairs and I see my dad sitting on the couch reading on his iPad, and he's doing his Bible study in Olive Tree. He loves it for both just for the clean look, the way it can be navigated, but then also the way you can open up passages side by side. You can open up original languages next to English. They have concordances. They have all sorts of stuff there. And then they also have a whole bunch of other ebooks and things like that you can buy through Olive Tree. And unlike some other online software, you don't have to buy a massive package all at once. You can buy a la carte. So for some people, that's better because they only want to spend $10 at a time instead of hundreds of dollars at a time. So you can do that. And it's olivetree.com. It's really straightforward, really simple. Ted, you say you use this, right?
I do, man. You know what? That's another one of many things I have in common with John Piper. You know, I feel like there's so many.
Yeah, it's a long list.
Our hair, just our aesthetic personally, the shows that we watch, you know,
yes,
the hip hop that we listen to, and now the fact that we both do our morning Bible studies on Olive Tree. I have the app on my iPhone. I absolutely love it. You can pop open commentaries. I have Calvin's commentaries that I read alongside my passages. And just absolutely love Olive Tree. Love those guys. It's a great company, small company. Customer service is top notch. So hustle over to Olive Tree Bible. Is there a little promo code, Pipe?
Yep. If you use the code RANT when you check out, so that doesn't matter if you buy like one ebook or you buy one of their larger software options, use the code RANT, you'll get a 20% discount. So it's a great deal and really straightforward. There's no like buy this much to get this discount. Just use the code RANT, get 20% off. And that's all through olivetree.com. I think you can go through the app as well. So you can get the app through any mobile device as well.
I love it, baby. Well, why don't you suss out our second sponsor, man? This one is sure to get us some, there'll be some interaction about this one.
Yeah. If you like Mark Batterson, you're going to love this one. No, this is I kind of feel like I'm stepping up to a challenge here because you set it up so positively. It is the book. It's the book Visioneering. It's a re-release and revised edition of a slightly older book, Visioneering, by Andy Stanley. And I think I just heard some retching in the background. If Ronnie was on, I know that I would have just gotten a big sigh.
You know what? I was puking about something else in my office. Oh, something else made me throw up.
Something else made you throw up. Well, that's probably our first topic. Visioneering. So here's what I will say about Andy Stanley. If you live in the Reformed world, as many of our listeners do, not everybody, we hear often from non-Reformed people.
Which is pretty cool, man. Let me just say, like, if you're not down with you know, Calvinism, we want you on board, man.
Yes, we love that. But you may have been taught or have come to the conclusion all by yourself, some Calvinists do that, to dislike Andy Stanley and the way he teaches and the way he does church and things like that. And I'll say this, I'm okay. Like, I get that. His leadership stuff, like if you ever hear him talk just purely on leadership, talking about leadership principles, organizational leadership principles, personal leadership principles, that's his strong suit. That's where he's best. Now, mm-hmm. he's also part of the reason why some of our theological brethren think that pragmatism and leadership don't blend with theology, because he doesn't really blend the two. But this book is a leadership book. It's a book about your personal vision and figuring out what your vision for life is and how to walk it out. So discovering it and then enacting it. It's practical. He has a way of creating very practical steps that are memorable. So they're sticky. They stick in your brain. He has some great books on communication that I've looked through that are really helpful on that front too. And then also just leadership in different contexts. So this vision context or this vision concept can be brought into the home. It can be brought into a church. It can be brought into a business, kind of whatever direction it goes. But then being a pastor, he also is conscientious to make sure that this isn't just sort of a chase your dreams thing. It's is your vision a godly vision? So he he does do that, and I know that some people probably think he's incapable of that, and I would venture to say they need to be a bit more gracious. So my pitch for this book is that Andy Stanley on leadership is really good, and so that's the strength of this book, Visioneering, Your Guide to Discovering and Maintaining Personal Vision. You don't need to worry about his church leadership. You don't need to worry about his theology or the way that they do things at North Point. This book is a helpful book on the leadership and vision side of things. And the newly revised edition drops the day this podcast releases. So Visioneering, Your Guide for Discovering and Maintaining Personal Vision. Go check it out if you're into leadership books or you're looking for a good one. That is my pitch for it. Did I sell you, Ted?
Pipe, that was masterfully done.
All right. So you're getting it, right?
That was so masterfully done. I'm getting it. I'm gonna order Visioneering, and I'm gonna be a visionary. You're not gonna recognize me next week.
You're gonna have so much personal vision next week. It's you might give up the podcast too. Just like
I'm gonna have so many ideas. Exactly. I'm gonna have bigger ideas. You know, I'm gonna redeem the culture in 15 different ways next week.
Perfect.
Dude, you know what? My only brush with Andy Stanley is as follows. So my lady used to work in marketing for this company. And it was one of these sort of like tangentially Christian companies, but really they sold like widgets for which there was no like they weren't Christian or non-Christian widgets. You know what I mean?
So and not sanctified widgets.
They weren't sanctified widgets. But yeah, you walk around this company and there's like these framed like Andy Stanley quotes or no, they were scrolling on flat screens. Like flat screens are the new frames. You know what I mean?
Well, that makes sense because he always has a flat screen on stage with him when he teaches. Like he's got he sits on the stool with the little sort of cafe table, and then he's got the screen which flashes up his whatever his you know his punchy memorable point is that he's
whatever little through. Nugget of wisdom. Yeah. And the nuggets of wisdom were always like kind of vague and indecipherable to me. It was stuff like, you know, be the kind of you that you want other people to see you as. You know. And I'm like, yeah, I'm walking around, I'm going, I'm smart. Like, I know how to like say if
Yoda
stuff.
It's like if Yoda smoked weed.
Yeah, it's like if Yoda smoked weed and worked at a company. You know what I mean? And was like leading meetings.
High Yoda in office space. That's
exactly.
That's what
high Yoda. Yeah, baked Yoda in office space. We should stop talking. We're going to lose this sponsor. But
I think this is the only episode they're sponsoring. So, oh, well.
Dude, all kidding aside, the book does sound intriguing, though.
And to be like, Andy is a consistent person when it comes to this stuff. So we've had a chance to interact with him, not so much personally as like because I work in leadership stuff for churches. Mm-hmm. He's one of the larger voices. So I've run across more of his stuff in the last couple of years than I ever had previously. And when I've seen what he puts out in terms of leadership and encouraging leaders, it is generally pretty strong. Like his talks at Catalyst, when he closes those out or opens those up, are always helpful, and the books reflect that. So while I don't think I would attend North Point if I lived in the Atlanta area, he is somebody I would go to if I wanted to know kind of how to organize things or cast a vision or those kinds of things from a leadership perspective. So those two things are not at odds with one another, I don't think.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. Andy Stanley became a topic on the program.
Look at that.
Dude, you know what? I know we have topics that we sussed out in our production meeting this morning, meaning the the three texts that we sent back and forth.
It was a lengthy meeting.
A lengthy meeting on the flat screen in my studio. I just saw a little item run across the scroll, and that is that our boy Tim Tebow homered in his first at bat in the Nicaragua instructional league that he's in.
And then he walked on water around the bases.
So Pipe, do you have any response to that?
I have such mixed feelings about this because as a sports fan, mm-hmm. it would be pretty incredible to see him succeed at baseball because nobody does that. They don't start baseball at 29 and become a success.
Yeah.
As a fan of the internet and social media, I want him to go away.
Yeah, of course.
Because this has already completely destroyed Twitter for me because people are breaking it down from a baseball side of things because I'm a bit of a baseball nerd and I follow analysts and the like. And then people are breaking it down and then people are responding and they just hate Tebow and you have the Tebow defenders. And it's just – it's not to the level of when he was, the Broncos quarterback, say, but it's just Yeah, I don't know. I saw it. He does not have a very good swing. He looks like a slow pitch softball player who's just this muscled up monster.
One of those guys with a bat that's made out of space shuttle titanium, and he carries it in a case and polishes it up.
Exactly. Guns the size of my thigh.
Guns the size of your thighs. Wears stirrups for no reason.
Has a cooler full of muscle milk.
Wears a pair of Oakleys.
Oh, exactly. And which when he's taking batting practice, he wears his hat backwards. And oftentimes he will actually hang the glasses backwards on his hat as well.
If it's cloudy. I'm really glad you mentioned that, dude. I do not get – and I see these guys – who they wear their glasses on the back of their head or on the back of their hat. Like they just rest them there. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. I don't quite understand that. It feels counterproductive to me since those are sunglasses and the eyes are in the front of your head. That's a total bro move. Those are bros.
They're not real bros. They're like 40-year-old bros. You know what I mean?
Well, they're washed up bros.
They're washed up bros. These are guys with like barbed wire tattoos left over from the 90s.
Exactly. They're Gen X bros.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's Tim Tebow's real close to that, except he's still a good athlete and he's only 29.
Dude, what kind of a bro is Tebow going to be in another 10 years, man? That's fascinating to think about, isn't it?
He's either going to be like a he's either going to be on TBN.
Oh, wow.
Or he's just going to go off the deep end.
Yeah. Well, I hope he doesn't go off the deep
end. I hope so too. I should say I hope not as well. I don't want that to happen. The scrutiny and the pressure on that guy, I feel like there's going to come a breaking point. He's either gonna roll all the way into like TV preacher or he's rolling all the way the other direction.
Dude, that's crazy, man. That's a really interesting piece of insight. We'll have to keep our eye on that. Well, speaking of things that make the internet a more or less pleasant place to be, specifically less pleasant. I feel like last week is a week where I broke like a personal, ethic or rule of mine. And I read a few pieces of like pushback from people. One of which you sent along, another of which, I made the mistake of reading a review, of our new book, Bridezilla. And it was the wrong review to read. I'll just put it that way. And I had another situation that I want to suss out with you. But the topic is, how do you respond? What's the etiquette in responding to like internet critics?
Yeah. And, so this is not like necessarily the Twitter troll who's just blowing up your feed. This is somebody who like writes a review or contacts you with
somebody who
a
contacts you.
Criticism.
Somebody sends you an email. So, dude, let me run this scenario by you, and then we'll talk about the email that we got. But So a few years ago, I did a book on Robert Griffin III, which if you read it, and there aren't many people who did, so I'll just caveat it with that. But the first couple chapters, I was basically like, this kid is 21 years old, so don't take any spiritual like takeaway or leadership from this kid. Like, this is a football story. If you're into football, if you like Baylor, if you like Robert Griffin, buy the book, enjoy the book. But if you're reading this as like an inspirational like gospel story, like don't read it that way because that's not what it is.
Did you write it after his rookie year for the Redskins?
I wrote it during his rookie year. Okay. So it was the kind of thing like the publisher reached out to me like week four of his rookie season. It was nuts, man. And I wrote it and I turned it in before the playoffs were even over. So, I mean, it was a really turn and burn kind of project. And Robert Griffin, of course, has, you know, had troubles in his relationship, troubles on the field, et cetera, et cetera. And I had this dude, and it was really, it was nicely worded and nicely said. But he sent me an email and he's like, basically, don't you feel like an idiot for doing a book on what a great Christian Robert Griffin III is? And like, you know, don't you wish you could take that back? And I'm just like, not really, you know, I mean, it was a football book. It was fun and it fed my family for a while. So I'm thankful for it. But I didn't respond to the guy because I literally didn't know what to say. I mean, like it's almost like he just wanted to point out how badly Robert Griffin has done for the last few years, which is something that I kind of knew about anyway. So I didn't respond. Sometimes I don't respond. I don't know what the etiquette is there, Pipe.
I only respond if it feels like somebody's asking an honest question.
Yeah.
Like if somebody sends me this and say, hey, when you wrote this, I didn't understand what you meant, or I was bothered because it sounded like this. And they have a tone of, I would like to interact in a, you know, in a
conciliatory honest, kind of way.
Humble. Yeah. Like they're not attacking. They may take issue with something. I have no problem with people disagreeing, you know, not a huge fan of being attacked, but,
yeah.
But if it's just sort of a, like, that sounds sort of passive aggressive, what you just said, you know, so it's sort of like the, you word it nicely and whatever, but really you're just trying to criticize more or less.
Yeah.
You know, and then we got the email after the podcast last week. So we talked about worship in weird contexts, and I used the term whiplash, how it feels really weird to like go from singing, you know, My Jesus, I Love Thee to talking, you know, bottom line budgets in 35 seconds. And we got a very angry email from a former pastor's kid who suggested that, what did he call us?
That we could repeat.
He called us some not very nice names that
rhyme. He was in his, you know, face. He was in his like experimenting with profanity phase.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he called us one word that rhymes with a bird that swims and another word that that is a bird that is a male chicken. And so we got called both of those. And then he basically said that we're soft and need to get real jobs, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't really clearly know what any of us have done. I can't speak for whether Ronnie is soft because Ronnie's more patient than either of us and didn't actually respond to this email. He just told us to chill out.
Ronnie's response to us made me feel like a horrible person. Well, did you?
Yes, a little bit. Because he told us to not be so defensive.
Yeah, which I didn't need to be told that.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think you were being super defensive because you didn't respond to the guy. You just sort of kept it in-house.
Yeah.
But so Ted essentially basically was like, I've worked this hard in this context. And then I came back and said the same thing, you know, like, oh, I have worked two jobs for 10 years and this and that and the other thing, including manual labor and different things as you have done. And then Ronnie told us both to stop being defensive. but this is not the kind of email that needs to be responded to, especially because he didn't give us an actual criticism. He basically just said, if you guys are so upset with the church, why don't you leave? And I was like, well, I think you're reading your upsetness into our humor. We point out things about the church that maybe we find annoying, but mostly that we think are worth laughing at.
Absolutely. And we both love the church, man. We're both like,
we both write for it. We both speak at it. We both are members of it. I work in a job every day where my goal is to help it. You work in a Christian college that is seeking to put believers into the world doing good work. And he didn't seem to get us. But this is not the kind of thing that needs a response. For whatever reason, it got under my skin, and I think it's just sort of the male ego of feeling like somebody called me soft. And,
dude, I know, right? That was it for me, too. Like,
to be frank, I wanted to fight him.
Right. Like, if you don't like the show, don't like the show, but don't call me soft. Like, you know nothing about me.
Yeah,
you know?
I kind of wish I had Ronnie's, like, whatever about
dude,
this.
Dude, I know. Because, I wish that a lot, actually.
Because that would have been a much better emotional response for me.
I'd love to spend a day as Ronnie, you know?
I'll say this about the guy who sent us this. I looked up his website because it's just from his email domain. He's a construction worker. Yeah. He does really good work. He's
a construction worker with a website?
Well, he's like a builder. He builds stuff. And he builds some really nice places. So like homes and things. So I was
And he writes a really lovely email too.
Yeah, he's
maybe he should stick to building homes. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but to the question of the etiquette, like, I don't think that critics deserve responses if they are only criticizing. If there is a critical, like, if it's critical from the perspective of, like, academic criticism or critical thinking with honest questions and a conciliatory tone, absolutely engage those people. Yeah. But if it's just somebody like this who wants to call us names and then rant about how angry he is, I don't know what good would have come out of responding. Or in your case, the sort of semi self-righteous, pompous kind of thing that that also doesn't understand the nature of the book. Like, that's another thing, is if somebody just comes at you and criticizes and you're like, I didn't even write that. Like, you weren't writing Robert Griffin's life story being like, end of story, he's done at 22.
Yeah, he's an amazing Christian, you know, at 22. Yeah,
forever.
I get where the guy was coming from, and he was really nice, but I thought about it for a couple of days, and I'm like, there's really nothing to say here, and like, I don't want to get into some, I don't have time for some long, deep dialogue about it.
Anybody who is engaging, if you're a writer, so you're writing journalistic pieces, you're writing culture pieces, if you're a podcaster, so you're just talking about things, you will make a point based on what is true today that stops being true tomorrow, and then you look like a moron in 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, I've written pieces about, I think I wrote a piece about Joe Paterno one time.
I've done the same thing,
and
man.
And then Joe Paterno and the whole Penn State thing blew up, and I go back and look. I'm like, that still lives on the internet. I hope nobody finds it.
Dude, right. I know.
You know, and I've written really positive pieces about, say, Steph Curry. Well, Steph Curry's young. He could do something really dumb in the next 2 years, and every positive thing I've ever said or written will sound wrong. And that's... it's true in the church. You know, there's a lot of people who liked a lot of pastors who did a lot of dumb stuff. And now they're like, do you feel guilty for liking them? No, you shouldn't. Because based on what you knew at the time, it was all good.
Exactly.
And just as you and Robert Griffin.
Yeah. And you know what? We're still invited and welcome to appreciate his game and appreciate what he brings to the field theoretically when he gets healthy. So
I really wanted him to be good for the Browns this year. And I realize that's almost an oxymoron, good for the Browns. But
dude, you know what? I felt exactly the same way because I thought it would make for a more interesting and fun NFL, to be honest.
And I thought Hugh Jackson was going to be a good coach for them. And I hoped that Griffin could just like not be a star, but just be like make the occasional play, be a solid quarterback. And then he hurt his knee or his hip or something and he's out for the year. And I was like, ugh.
Just to put the Browns back on the map, and just to make the Browns relevant again. Like, I remember it was fun in the you know, the late 80s and the 90s when Marty Schottenheimer was there. They were playing Marty ball and like passing the ball four times a game with Bernie Kosar and hitting people with Ernest Biner and Kevin Mack.
The Ernest Biner years, although Browns fans are cringing because of the Biner fumble and the Elway drive and all that.
Those are good years though, man. Those are good years. Back in the old Cleveland Stadium and always a muddy field, always cold. Those were fun Browns teams.
Indeed.
Well, dude, let's talk about something else fun, man. And our time is drawing short here. I've always got coaching on Wednesday afternoon. But let's talk about the Marvel phenomenon. This is one that, like, again, in the hallowed halls of academia where I teach, I run into a lot of kids who are really about the Marvel thing. And I have to be honest, man. I've seen some of these superhero movies. I couldn't tell you which ones are Marvel and which ones are – what's the other one? Is there some like competing thing with Marvel?
Yeah. I paint DC Comics. So
DC Comics, Marvel.
I'm not a DC guy in general. They tend to not be as interesting. So,
dude, will you tell me just in brief, like what superheroes are we working with DC and which ones are Marvel?
Well, the biggest DC ones are going to be like Superman, Wonder Woman. I'm sure there's a bunch of others. Listeners, comic book nerds, by all means, tweet at us, email us, Facebook us, fill us in on DC Comics. I don't pay a lot of attention to them. And then Marvel is the Avengers. So you've got Captain America, you've got Iron Man, you've got Thor, you've got the Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man, and some others.
Dude, now I'm all about Iron Man and Thor.
Yeah,
Thor for reasons like man crush reasons, like hair reasons,
and Iron Man because he's hilarious.
Yeah, Iron Man because he's hilarious. Like a truly great story, great character. Yeah. Totally down with Iron Man and Thor.
Well, here's what I love about Marvel, and this is I'm gonna kind of nerd out story wise here.
Do it.
Hollywood is stale and boring. Generally speaking, these days, not a lot of original stories, no interesting worlds being created. It's all remakes of other junk, and just sort of, you know, how many times can Liam Neeson's kids get abducted,
yeah.
and then he has to go use his very special set of skills and things like that. Mm-hmm. So what's fascinating about Marvel is that it's actually a Marvel universe, and they've threaded together these different stories, and it's not perfectly done, but you have Netflix original series like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, and both of which were excellently done. And those are way grittier. Like they're kind of the R-rated version. Yeah, and yeah. then Netflix, by the time this releases, will have just released the season of Luke Cage, which I'm very excited about. Which is kind of a spinoff of Jessica Jones, or not a spinoff, but he was introduced in that series. And then you've
got. That would look sweet, man. That's a Netflix thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and then they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a network television show, and it has more of a little bit more of that campy network television feel. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the movies, which are all successful blockbusters. So you have the individual ones of Thor and Iron Man, et cetera. And then you have the Avengers, so where they're all kind of in the same thing. And they're all telling and kind of functioning on the same timeline with the same stories. And there's some overlap where all of a sudden, like, Ant-Man drops into Avengers and so on. And that's fascinating storytelling because, you know, they have some hidden lab somewhere where this stuff is storyboarded out. Mm. And it's intricate and then it's almost all well written.
Yeah.
Like they're all entertaining. I think I'm trying to think of Marvel movies that I've seen that I thought were duds.
Dude, now I think Captain America is a dud.
But Captain America is a dud because Captain America is a boring character.
Dude, he is a manifestly boring person. Like, I would not want to spend any time with Captain America.
But here's the thing about Captain America that makes him interesting in that world is that he's a great, like, foil for Iron Man and some of these others because he's like this G. Willikers wholesome guy. And then you have, like, the billionaire playboy smart aleck over here. And they go well together. But Captain America by himself is a little bit like he's – I don't know. I guess he's eye candy for the ladies, but
dude, let me ask you this, man. If this podcast were to be turned into a Marvel comic by one of our comic book nerd listeners, which if you're out there, this is me commissioning you to do this.
Oh yes, that'd be amazing.
We need a Happy Rant Marvel comic adaptation.
Yes.
Which character would you be, Pipe, and who would Ronnie be, and who would I be?
Well, let's see. Iron Man is my favorite. Like, if I was going to pick one, I would want to be Iron Man.
Dude, I see you as an Iron Man. A little cynical, you know?
Yeah, and, like, I don't have any superpowers, but I put me in an iron suit that can blow stuff up, and I'll take somebody on.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, and this is, the other one who's very amusing is Ant-Man.
Okay.
Because Paul Rudd played the character. I don't know if you ever saw Ant-Man, but it's another
Dude, but I love Paul Rudd. I
real
seen
dry
it.
Sense of humor. It's like Paul Rudd at his best. They put him right in his lane where nice. he's an, you know, sort of, he's like an honest criminal.
Yeah.
And, but also he's hilarious and funny. And, so I think those two would be my, if I could pick, who would Ronnie be? Like,
dude, I don't even know, man.
See, Ronnie is like Bruce Banner, but he doesn't have a Hulk side.
Yeah, he's like Bruce Banner if Bruce Banner just remained a scientist. Yeah,
if he was just a genius scientist who was
If he just went
chill.
To the lab every day and went home, you know, and went on a conference every 2 weeks.
To be honest, Ronnie's personality is closer to like the Paul Rudd Ant-Man where it's sort of – it's dry, it's subtle, it's pretty laid back. Like he doesn't mm-hmm. really flip out and get angry and he, you know, not real aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think you're like a cross between like the – I don't know, like who, because you have the Thor hair,
yeah.
But Thor's sort of like an over the top bombastic guy, and you're clearly
yeah.
Not
I'm not
that.
Bombastic. I'm dude. You know how I always see myself is sort of like a Bruce Wayne, man. Like you take away all the money,
yeah,
and you know sometimes I go into the cave and I get all morose and glum, and then I occasionally come out and do something pretty good, but then I go back into the cave again.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that. Yeah, I think that's not Marvel though. I think that's DC. So,
oh, is that DC?
Yeah. So man. You're like the counterculture.
I am.
Yeah, and the new Batman, like you can't make Ben Affleck tough. Sorry, guys. Ben Affleck is a completely unconvincing tough guy. So,
dude, now see, I like some Ben Affleck, man. Have you seen The Town? Have you seen the movie The Town?
I like Ben Affleck in certain roles, but he has a very small bullseye.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah,
and it has to be sort of that like smirking, sardonic, like he can be tough, but he can't be a tough guy. You know? Like I'm a little bit worried about this movie. There's a movie coming out called The Accountant, which looks like it should be amazing.
Yeah, you know, right, sort of, man. Like, I saw the ad for that.
But it's him as like this disaffected like super killer.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a Jeremy Renner role. That's a Tom Hardy role. Like,
dude, it is, because Renner and Hardy, man, you could see them being a little crazy, like just unhinged.
Christian Bale could play that. Like, totally. There's those guys, I think I would be slightly nervous to meet them in real life because they might bite me or something.
Exactly.
Whereas I feel like Affleck is just sort of he just wants to be liked. He's just everybody's buddy.
Dude, he's a bro. He's kind of a 90s bro.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's one barbed wire tattoo short of being a 90s bro.
I love it, man. I wonder how close Affleck was to getting a barbed wire tattoo in the 90s. You know, I bet he was about to get one, and then they got that Oscar for Good Will Hunting. He's like, no, you know what?
Matt Damon was like, dude, don't do it. It's going to ruin your career.
Matt Damon was like, dude, you're an artist now, man. You can't get a barbed wire tattoo. Pipe, I gotta be honest. I was close to getting a barbed wire tattoo in the 90s.
Would you have just turned it into like a crown of thorns later or something? Or what?
I guess, man. But I don't know. As like a white football player, especially if you played defense in the 90s, almost everybody had a barbed wire tattoo.
Oh, you know? One of my favorite football players in that era was, it might have been early 2000s, was a defensive tackle for the Vikings named Chris Hovind.
Dude, Chris Hovind was sweet, man.
And he was like a super pasty Irish-looking guy with red hair.
Yeah, it was like a ginger, man, like crazy ginger.
But he was a defensive tackle, so massive arms. And I think he had multiple strands of barbed wire around both arms. And I thought that was super tough back in
those
days. Dude,
yeah. I think he started with a barbed wire tattoo. And then in the late 90s, it became like a tribal tattoo was the thing to get.
And then it became like the Viking arm band, which is like, because you're like, we got to hide this. How do we do this? Oh, let's go intricate metalwork tattoo.
So you grew up in the suburbs of, you know, like Carmel, Indiana. You have nothing to do with tribes. You've never interacted with a tribe anywhere. You're all
to,
of a sudden.
To be fair, that's true of most Caucasians. Anywhere.
I think it is, man. I think it is for sure. Pipe, any bad 90s tattoos that you were tempted to dabble in?
Oh, let's see. I think there was an era when the Celtic cross, that sort of Celtic knot cross.
Absolutely.
Thing was, and so like on the
kind of
wrist,
the Boondock Saints motif.
Yes, exactly. You know? Yeah, it was very Boondock Saintsy. That was one that I was legitimately tempted to get. Like the barbed wire, I was never really tempted, mainly because I don't have impressive guns, and I feel like that's the rule. Like you have to have muscles that deserve the tattoo.
Dude, a barbed wire tattoo around a skinny arm is actually kind of a funny concept, though.
It's like hanging barbed wire on a peg.
Exactly. You make it droop a little bit.
Yeah,
you actually
have to get the tattoo of the nail and the barbed wire hanging on it.
But the
Celtic cross one, and it's not a terrible tattoo, but it's dated. Like you look at it, you're like, oh, I know when you got that. Like I could peg the year.
I could say what you were listening to when you got that.
Yeah,
you were listening to like Tool or Nine Inch Nails, you know?
Yeah.
System of a Down.
I'm trying to think what other tattoos.
I know a lot of guys who got like, they would get like their football number tattooed on their ankle. I'm like, man, what if you change jerseys? You know, like, what if they move you to like free safety next season?
You're a tight end, you get a little bit fat, and all of a sudden you're playing left guard and you're number 67 instead of 84.
That happened to so many guys, man. Yeah, you got that 88 tattooed on your ankle and it looks sweet when you were a tight end, but you know.
Yeah, now it just looks like some, what I mean, is it like the year you were born? Like, what is that?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know, man.
And do you have any tattoos?
I have zero tattoos. Do you?
I have one tattoo, and it just says "I believe, help my unbelief," and it's in sort of like a script font on my forearm. So,
dude, that's sweet, man. I like the forearm tattoo, actually.
Yeah,
that's
not era specific, and you wouldn't be able to tell. You wouldn't be able to tell when I got it, and the font is like handwriting enough that people think it's in Arabic. Because
let me ask you this, man, vis-a-vis that tattoo. What was John Piper's reaction when you rolled up your sleeve the first time around the house and he saw it?
He has not mentioned it in the 4 years I have had it.
That's so funny, man. That's how KK's parents dealt with her nose piercing. Like, just to pretend that it didn't exist, you know?
Yeah.
Non-acknowledgement, I think, is in and of itself a certain kind of acknowledgement.
Yeah, it is a very passive expression of disapproval, but very non-confrontational, which means he's trying hard not to be judgmental.
Yeah, what that says is, Barnabas, I know you're a man. I know you can make your own decisions. I don't approve of this. I wouldn't have advised you to do it, but you know, I'm not going to say anything.
And I appreciate the fact that I have three older brothers, so my parents learned a thing or two about how not to insert themselves into my decisions. So,
That's great.
They may have my oldest brother had an ear piercing back when that was a thing. So just the one ear pierced.
Yeah.
And I don't think my parents were super geeked up about that in the late 90s.
I bet they weren't, man. So what? He went to the mall. He went to like Mall of America there in Minneapolis.
Claire's.
He got the ear pierced, bought like a $2 set of earrings, and.
Yep.
Off he goes.
That's right.
That's funny, man. So funny. Dude, I miss that. I miss the 90s, like, affectations that we had. I wonder what people will be talking about this era.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah, I feel like it's all stuff you wear, you know, or the razor cut part, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah, hairstyles, skinny jeans. I could see people laughing at, like, the chambray shirts. I'm wearing one right now, and so I think they're fine, but, like, they're such a distinct era because they came in just, you know, a few years ago, and they're going to go out. Like, nobody's going to wear these in a couple years.
Dude, I wear those. I got a closet full of those.
Oh, they're comfortable as all get out. They're like flannels, except lighter.
Dude, that's it, man. And if you live in a hot climate like we do, you're not rocking the flannel.
And they don't show sweat very much either if it's a little warm outside.
Exactly. It's a nice, versatile shirt, man. You can wear it at the office. You can wear it in real life. You know, it serves a lot of purposes. So, chambray shirt dealers, if you're out there, we could use a sponsorship.
That's right.
Dude, I'm... You know what I'm looking for in a sponsor pipe?
What's that?
Some nice, like, free stuff. You know what I mean? Some stuff we can enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, we got some free stuff from Missionalware, but none of it was branded Happy Rant. Now, I did just get an email from them saying they're talking about some Happy Rant branded swag. Like, he listed legitimate products. I'm not going to list what they are because I don't want to jump the gun for him. But just as a general teaser, there's a good chance there's some of that coming. And
dude, I feel like he's been teasing us with that for years, man. Let's show me the swag. You know,
show me the swag.
Show me the swag. Absolutely. Well, I'm excited about that, man. I would be stoked to get a box of Happy Rant branded swag. I feel like that's next level for us as a company, man.
Yeah, I think once your logo is on a product, not just on a website, then you exist.
You exist. It's on a product. You could see somebody like at the mall wearing a Happy Rant t-shirt. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Not at the mall, probably, but
a
maybe
head nod when you go by. At a coffee shop. Maybe a church. Yeah.
There you go.
Homeschool co-op.
A homeschool co-op. That would be exciting, man. Well, you and I have to start hanging around homeschool co-ops.
Try not to get arrested.
Yeah. See if we can catch a glimpse of our logo on a t-shirt. If Missionalware ever makes them and it stops talking about it, starts making. So there you go.
Laid down the gauntlet. Let's see if they come through for us.
Dude, I've laid down the gauntlet like 15 times on my other podcast, man. It's to no avail, but you know, they're good guys over there. They're trying. So, Pipe, we have wandered to and fro, man, as we always do on this program. I've enjoyed it. Listeners, I hope you have too. We have been conspicuously silent about Live in Louisville because I feel like it probably isn't going to happen. Am I right on that, Pipe?
I think it's going to happen. I think we're rearranging dates. It's getting pushed a little bit back. Here's the deal with that, listeners, is that Ronnie, being the excellent pastor that he is, his church decided to plant another church, and so he has some additional responsibilities. So we're trying to find a weekend date that works for him.
Yeah.
So
the original date was like the one weekend that he's not at a conference that he was actually going to preach at his new church.
Well, exactly. It was going to be a weekend he had to be back. So we are still figuring out how to make this happen. There are going to be some adjustments to dates. We're still looking at Louisville, but we're not sure of the date. It will likely be early November. But write that in pencil. Don't write that in pen.
Yeah. How about this? How about instead of all of our listeners doing Thanksgiving with their families, we just do it over Thanksgiving?
Dude, I'm down with that. Thanksgiving.
I'm down with that too, man.
Thanksgiving's a lot of work. If everybody just brings like one dish, there'll be more food than anybody can handle, and it's a lot less cooking for everybody.
Dude, what about that? Like a giant Thanksgiving Live in Louisville potluck, man.
Dude, that would be amazing, and then you wouldn't have to deal with relatives either.
Dude, that'd be unbelievable. So we put up a big screen, man. We can watch football after we tape. I would dig that.
Genius. I love it.
It is genius, man.
We should
man.
Totally make it happen. I feel like people's familial obligations would get in the way, but...
Nah, whatever, man. Family's not that important, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
I wrote a whole book about that. You know, don't idolize the family. Come to Live in Louisville for Thanksgiving. There you go.
Give you something to be thankful for.
Absolutely. Pipe, we've wandered to and fro, man. Until next time, Rachel Aheld Evans.
Scripture and brain science agree. Meditating on God's Word transforms us and reduces stress in our lives. I'm Jody Nisnik, host of So Much More, Creating Space for God, a scripture meditation podcast. And each week I give you space to hear God's Word, listen to the Spirit, and pray about what's on your heart. And then we have a thoughtful conversation with guests to help us go deeper. Listen and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.